from, don't you? That's Pharaoh's song. All right. Let's go to Psalm 2 for a little while. And then after we preach, we're going to have some fellowship and celebrate a birthday or two. Who all is here tonight besides Mac that has birthdays this month? Come on. You're going to be the only one. You're going to get all the cake. Whose anniversary? Really? How long have they been married?
Long enough.
Betsy, not long enough to have a daughter 65 years old. All right. Let's go to Psalm. I want to talk to you tonight about Jesus. Okay? How's that sound? A text is what a preacher uses to, it's kind of like a nail that you drive in the wall to hang your hat on or your coat or something like that. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to use as a text a scripture from Psalm 2, the second psalm, beginning in verse 6. Which says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, there's no doubt here that he's talking about Jesus. The Old Testament prophets spoke and wrote about Messiah. The word Messiah means the anointed one. The anointed one. The Jewish scholars have given this title Messiah to their hoped for Redeemer. And the Jews over there, many of them are driving cars up and down the streets of Jerusalem. And they've got signs on those cars that are advertising the fact that they're looking for Messiah to come. Not Jesus, but Messiah. If you were to talk to them and ask them, I don't know what they would say if you were to say, where's he coming from? What's he going to look like? And all of this. They just believe that he's going to appear and he's going to redeem Israel and establish his kingdom and reestablish Israel as a great kingdom. That's their hope. Now, that's a little bit in conflict with what we know because we have the New Testament. And to us, Jesus is the Christ, and we know him as Christ. And the word Christ is the same thing as the Messiah translated in the New Testament. But we said Messiah means the anointed one. Under Israeli customs, they had three people that were anointed with the holy oil. Their prophets were anointed. Their priests were anointed. And their kings were anointed. So the anointed one was either a prophet or a priest or a king. Well, bless your heart, Jesus is all three. Jesus is all three. Prophet, priest, and king. Now, we know that there are two comings of Messiah. That both of them are taught in the Old Testament. Two comings. The Jews looked at these two comings and they saw them as being two different persons. We look at them and we see them as one, which was fulfilled in Jesus when he came. They're looking for two persons. Now the description of his first coming is that of one who sacrifices himself in order to atone for the sins of men. And that is plain and clear, for instance, in Isaiah 53. The description of his second coming is that of a triumphant king who establishes his kingdom and rules the world from Mount Zion. And you can read the second chapter of the book of Daniel and you'll see that, because it tells us about the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that smote the image on its feet and crushed it, and the stone grew until it filled the whole earth. That's Jesus. Now the Jews could not reconcile this in their mind as being a single, solitary individual, one person. So that's why they missed Jesus when he came. How many times do you read in the Gospels there about the times when they would ask Jesus, even his disciples, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were not looking for a sacrifice, but they were looking for a king. Now the New Testament, when we get into it, of course, they don't accept the New Testament. But the New Testament tells us about Jesus, particularly the Gospels, and it's about his first coming. God manifest in the flesh as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, born of a virgin, who would offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross of Calvary as the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world, and then being raised from the dead and ascending back to heaven. See, that's plain to us because we've got the New Testament. They don't believe that. But that's Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What does that mean? God with us. And then Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born." That's Jesus, the babe in Bethlehem's manger. "Unto us a son is given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that part is past. That's history. It happened in the early part of the first century A.D. Now, as he ascended back to heaven, 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, his disciples were there with him. And they watched him as he went up. And there were two men that stood by them. They were dressed in white apparel. they said to these disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the one, the single individual, not another, but this same Jesus shall so come, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." And his coming, of course, is described by John over in the book of Revelation, particularly in chapter 19, verse 11, where he said, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." That's his second coming. But it's going to be the same Jesus, not another person. But I want to lead you into some of the Old Testament scriptures tonight and review some of these beautiful promises that God made. Now, when we read about Christ coming and establishing his kingdom, we usually stay in the New Testament because we're more familiar with it than we are the Old Testament. And I think I speak for you as well as myself. Whenever I read the Bible, well, that's hard to say. There's more Old Testament than there is New. But there are portions of the Old Testament that are unfamiliar to a lot of Christians today because the Old Testament, parts of it, are harder to be understood than the New Testament are. Because we're like the Jews, we get it mixed up sometimes. Was this the first coming or the second coming? But I want to show you what the Bible says that we have to look forward to. Of course, his promise to us is that when we die, we, that is our souls, our immortal souls, immediately go into the presence of God in heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't soul sleep. We don't stay in the graves. Just our body is in the grave. But our bodies will remain in the grave. And we will be in heaven with him until the first resurrection. And when the trumpet sounds, then our souls will be reunited with a glorified body that will come out of the graves where we've been buried. And we shall rise and come back alive and reign with him in a glorified body on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the millennial kingdom. But listen to some scriptures here. Take your Bibles and follow me if you will. Let's start in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. That's a good starting point. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Now, every time that the Bible refers to somebody as a branch or a rod, it points to the Messiah. And Jeremiah tells us that this branch here, he's going to identify him as the Messiah, the Lord, our righteousness, God himself. "I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. This is that righteous branch, that king that he told us about. The Lord, our righteousness. He's going to talk an awful lot in here about righteousness. And righteousness is just something that means doing right. There's going to come a time when everybody's going to do right, and that'll be wonderful. And 10 chapters over in Jeremiah 33, look at verse 14. He starts it off almost the same way as he did there in verse 5 of the 23rd chapter. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will," that's identical to the other one it is so far, "that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now that's the same name that he told us over in the 23rd chapter that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be called. I like that. Now, the Messiah is the offspring of a human family. And that family is the house of David. And this Messiah is God. He comes into the world in human form as a man, and his earthly origin is from the tribe of Judah and the house of David. See, that's set forth here. And that's Isaiah's Emmanuel, God with us. So let's go to Isaiah and look in chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. "In that day," the scripture says, "shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night." What's that remind you of? The children of Israel in the wilderness, doesn't it? When the glory cloud of God was present with them there. And that's what he's saying. A cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle, a tent for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. It's a place to go. If it gets too hot, you go to that tabernacle. If it starts raining, you go to the tabernacle. If you get too cold, go to the tabernacle. in Micah chapter 4. Let's go to Micah for a minute. Here's what God said through the prophet Micah, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. I like this. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth. That's the one that's crippled, that limps, that halteth. And I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. That describes the time of the Messiah as a time when there is true peace in the world and Christ reigns over the nations. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's daddy, you know. A rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, I like this. He gets into the animal creation. He says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. You know, this reminds me, just before I came to church, I was looking at some email that I had, and somebody had sent me something about this and said, take a look at this. And there were four pictures there. There was a tiger, a ferocious female tiger, who had some little tigers, and the little tigers had died. And that old mother tiger, she took it so hard she wouldn't eat. And she was wasting away, and they thought she was going to die of grief. And you know what they did? I saw this on there. They found a sow out here that had four little white pigs. Honestly. And you know, a tiger and a pig, you know, one gulp and boy, they're gone, see. But they took some tiger skin, I guess off the baby tigers or something, and wrapped it, made a coat for these little pigs, and put those little pigs out there to see what that mother tiger would do. And I'll declare, if she didn't adopt those things, and it showed a picture of them laying on her and up against her head and all such as that, and she was just tending them like they were little tigers. And I couldn't help but think of this scripture here that we're reading about the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Isn't that something? And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. Now that's a deadly viper, a snake. Today, if you saw one of those things, you'd run from it. But a little child is going to be able to play with those poisonous snakes, and the snakes will not bite. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, God says. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, back yonder, whenever God first created all the animals, read back over there in Genesis about it, I don't think Adam was afraid of those animals. I don't think there's a one of them that attacked him. They were tame back in those days.
Don't you think the curse changed all that?
Sure did.
That's what happened.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen when the curse is removed too, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes, it is. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a day that will be. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. Who's that? Jesus. Of the house of David. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. That's what the book of Hebrews talks about, us entering into his rest. Now, I hope that this will get you started and you read the entirety of this 11th chapter. And then in the next chapter, chapter 12, the identity and the attributes of this Messiah are set forth in chapter 12. And we're given a description of what life will be like during that time. You know, that number 7, going back here for just a moment, that number 7 is the number of perfection and wholeness and completeness. And here we have the 7 characteristics of our Savior, our Messiah that's given. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, number 1. His perfection is expressed in wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. I also like verse 7 there. You know, soldiers and kings back in the old days used to gird their weapons around their waist, their swords and scabbards, kind of like the old time cowboys on Gunsmoke. They wore their shooting irons around their waist. Come to think of it, even present day police strap them around their waist, carry their backup weapon in their sock or someplace like that, don't they, Abel? They always have a backup weapon, you know. Military wears their pistols and holsters on belts around their waist too. But Jesus doesn't need weapons like that, because his armor is righteousness and faithfulness. And he's the one that can see into the depths of the soul. He's the one that knows all things, therefore he can judge with absolute justice. But let's go back to our text. Yeah, let's look at Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 4 says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." And in the 51st chapter of Isaiah, look at verse 3. "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden." They've got some wilderness over there. You've never seen. You been to Death Valley? You ought to go to Israel. You ought to go down in that what's called the wilderness area. It looks like Death Valley all over again. Because Death Valley is what, below sea level and all that stuff? Well, you get off over there, the Dead Sea is the lowest place on the face of the earth. And all of that wilderness area around there. But you know what? He's going to make it like the Garden of Eden. And her desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's singing, isn't it? "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." That's what God says. So with an accumulation of all of these facts about that Messiah King, we come to the conclusion that the Savior originates from the tribe of Judah and comes as a man, a human being, through the house of David. And the Savior is the Son of God. He's born of a virgin. His names and his titles are identical with those of God. And the Savior is Emmanuel, God with us, God in human form. And the Savior will reign over Israel and the whole world forever and ever and ever. The best is yet to come. We're just getting started. We're just at the takeoff line. We've got all this in front of us. God's good. I'm glad I'm a Christian, and I'm glad I'm a part of God's plan and purpose for this whole world. My heart goes out to those who are not, to those who are unsaved, to those who are the unbelievers, because God has so much in store for us, and it's all good. And His name is righteousness and faithfulness, and He will not fail us. Thank you for coming tonight. I hope that you enjoyed this, seeing the Messiah in the Old Testament. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And tonight we'll be celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And that's good. We appreciate your being here. Hope that you have a good week. And hope to see you Wednesday night at Bible study. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Gene, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?